Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Your daily companion, Radio Pulpit, it is. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, this happening throughout up to the hour 8, Tuesday Live, the name of the show. My name is Ray. Good evening. And of course, thank you so much to Spectrum is back with you tomorrow. What an honor it is to take over from this man who always breaks the record, you know, when he broadcasts. Thank you so much, Johan. And of course, I just wanted us to start with this song, just to give each and every one of us a courage that he is still alive. Yahuwah Elohim, Christ himself in us, regardless of circumstances that we face and the ones that we see unravel. The loss of friends, people close to us, but he is still alive. The music of Zama Michelle.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
All right, we trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. You know, when people are pressing buttons from that side, another one from this side, songs get cut. It's just an error. It's just an error. And then songs get cut. Anyway, I trust that you are well and the Father is doing you good, blessing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends. And I had wanted to play you also some George Benson, but somehow it also got cut. But I will redo, don't worry. We will redo that, don't worry. We will redo that, because what you are hearing in the background is royalty by Karabo. And so, yeah. Anyway, it's okay. It's okay. Let me welcome the professor, Professor Buyisondeze, and then Baruch Yah is still in the traffic. The heavy rains of Cape Town, he says. Heavy rains, so heavy traffic. You can imagine that Durban Road there. Yo. Yeah, you can imagine that, ne? In Cape Town. Of course, the professor is here. Professor, greetings to you and welcome to the show.
Greetings to you, my brother. Thank you so much for the welcome. I also greet your family in the glorious name of our King. I also greet our rainbow, not rainbow, you will kill me. Radio Pulpit family. And also greet the brother Baruch. I'm sorry that you're in traffic.
Yeah.
It's terrible to find yourself in such.
Well, it happens now, doesn't it? It does happen.
It does.
It does happen. when I was a little boy working at the SABC, I was always startled by the traffic. And one of the things that really got me going was that I would see myself really stuck up in traffic. And it made me nervous. And some of the people that I worked with, they lived in Soweto. They lived in Bremley. They lived just around there. You know, they lived just around there, and so it was I who always had to drive. So, I had to decide that I actually drive later than everyone. We knock off at 4. I'm only going to get into the road at 6.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the only way out. That's the only way out.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. You're still going to get home the same time, but you would have stuck in traffic for those two hours.
For a longer time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you would make adjustments and say, okay, let me go in to work an hour earlier so that I can knock off an hour earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I did that, then at about 3:30, I know the road is still workable. Then I can get on to the M1 South, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know around 5 o'clock I'm at home. Because when you leave at 4, you only arrive at 6 o'clock. When you leave at 4, you only arrive at 6 o'clock. So that in itself would place you in traffic and all those kinds of things and stuff. And then, when you leave, you look, man, if you say, I am going to work and 6 o'clock, you must already be on the road. If you knock on at nine, if you knock on at 6 o'clock, you're on the road. M1. Yeah. And people say, why do you continue to live in Atteridgeville?
I think sometimes we take the time traffic to think about these things. Yeah.
Yeah, the traffic.
Yeah.
And the time when I decided now, I'm no longer working there now. I was working with the company. I still continued to live here because now I couldn't go through this 9-to-4 thing. Now I know, but you need to know how to navigate it. Otherwise, you will be bumped on the back. Someone will come and scratch your car. Some guy on a bike will come and hit your side mirror.
And hit your mirror.
And go.
Yeah.
And you're not a taxi driver. You can't catch him, you know. You can't phone other taxis and say, there's a guy on a bike. Stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You don't want to waste more time if you've already wasted time on the road.
Things like that. Yeah. Are you well, Professor? Are you well?
I'm well, by God's grace. Thank you so much for asking. Hoping you are well, too.
Yeah, I'm well. I'm well, man. I'm good. I'm okay. I still have so many events ahead, man. This week, I have a women's event that is taking place in Tembisa.
Okay.
And then the other week, we have a women's event that's taking place in Vosloorus, and a men's dialogue that's taking place in Ekangala, where you were in Bronkhorstspruit. That's where you were.
On Friday.
Thank you so much for coming over. So people have seen you now, eh? You saw Mashadi, eh?
Yes, I did. I saw my sister there.
Yeah. No, it was nice. You also saw my wife, eh?
Yes, you have a beautiful, lovely wife. Your lovely family.
Oh yes. Yeah. Except for Nell. Nell was in Durban, man. She came back when? Sunday. She was in Durban.
Yeah.
With this UP youth choir.
Now everybody has his call and her call. So she was also doing
her call.
Her ministry. Exactly. Everybody's call. So we can't stop them from ministering.
Absolutely. Exactly. Now, we said then tonight we are going to touch on this issue, and that is spiritual conflicts, isn't it?
Yes.
So we are going to look into the things that are conflicting us, spiritual forces that are conflicting us. And many people can speak of it as a spiritual warfare. I've heard this name many times as a born again. Many times I've heard people talking about spiritual warfare and what it is even all about. But we are going to touch spiritual conflicts, and my perspective is going to be very, very much awkward in that I will be looking at conflicts also that people are engaged in, and they never actually acknowledge the fact that they are in those conflicts, you know. because they are not aware that they're in those conflicts. And the devil takes advantage at times because of those conflicts that are taking place. Now, if you can look into the word, you would see Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 speaks about this. It starts to become quite clear to us. When Daniel was speaking about it, it started to have characteristics and shapes. And he leads light into this. And he says, I was, chapter 7, verse 21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Now we start to want to check as to what is this horn which he speaks as if he has seen it somewhere else, because he says the same horn was waging war against the saints and winning. And tonight I want us to look at the horns that are waging war against the believers, and they seem to be winning. And that's my perspective. If it is alcoholism, if it is drug abuse, if it is adultery, if it is a scourge of divorces, if it is, I saw this, this is just amazing. Human sacrifice, people sacrifice to have a particular anointing that they get, not from the Father, but it's still used in the churches of the saints. Check it out, I didn't say the body of Christ. And in these ministries, there are sacrifices that are made. It can not necessarily be the killing of people, but there would be rituals that are taking place. And there you can still see the same horns. And now these horns perpetuate, which means these principalities perpetuate a conflict, let's say, of morality. Then people become so immoral, you can't tell them otherwise. From affair to affair, people go from affair to affair, as if going to one is good. From affair to affair. I was listening to Gino Jennings, he was saying, the bishop, Gino Jennings, he was saying, and the devil has raised up a horn that many of the ladies who are in the church should become impregnated outside wedlock. And those who are married should impregnate people outside their own marriages, or be impregnated by people outside their own wedlock. Yeah. It's a horn. Yeah. It's a horn that is raising its scourge of fight against the believers. And there is another one. There's a horn of lack. And I've heard this thing being spoken by many people, and who have said, and I'm happy that the word is saying, do not fret on the olden days and say, oh, how I long for the olden days, because I used to have bread on my table every time. But that was at the expense of your soul. The very fact that the Father is teaching us about endurance, is teaching us about long suffering, is teaching us about patience, there's a horn that has been raised against believers to overlook these things and to focus on the lack. And it is why people become so hungry easily. The preachings are about money. And people, to a great extent, have become somehow, somewhat riddled with lack. Now, these are the horns that are risen against the body of saints, the believers. Here's another one. Sectarianism, where the devil knows that the best way to conquer your enemy is to divide them and rule them. And how can you do that? You can only do that if you promote gossip, fights, differences, lies, you know, all those things that would make them to be apart so that it would be easy to rule over them. Actually, so that it would be easy for them to destroy one another, fighting the battle for you. This is a horn reason also. And it is so much in this that there's a spirit known as the spirit of denominationalism, which is so broad. Go and check the ministries. They are owned by people. Go on and check them. They are owned by people. That's a horn of division. It's called the horn of sectarianism. And these things have raised their horns against believers. Here's another one now. There's a horn that has been raised against the character of those who are ministers, pastors, prophets, whatever, those who are leading ministries, men and women. There's a horn that has been risen, and it's a horn of controversy. Almost all of them have some past which is controversial. Or the devil will create a story that is controversial. So that if they grow and surpass the horns of traps, you know, selfishness, greed, money, laundering, and all those kinds of things, he can be able to catch them with a scandal. Hence, you'd see them having affairs and stuff and stuff. Oh, no, who's this? No, this is my personal assistant. And you tell some of your friends that she understands you more than your wife. She knows what kind of coffee you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, she prepares coffee and for you. Yeah, she prepares coffee for you in the... she prepares coffee for you in the morning in the office. And then you say it's something that your wife doesn't do. How can she do that when you don't appreciate her anymore?
Hmm.
You know? She buys you all these socks on Father's Day. They're written the world's best daddy. Your wife bought you a mug. And you're hiding those socks in your car. You're wearing them when you go to work. And she sees you wearing them. It's sad. These are the things we see. These are the things that come about. We are talking about that. A horn that is making war against the saints and prevailing against them. What are some of these horns that you see? I will come to others. Let me just jump to Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 8. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. The thing is, we also see a horn that makes us not to keep the commandments of the Father in order to reach the destinations of the ministries he has set us up in. And this is because we have taken the ministries to become our kingdoms, domains, businesses, source of income. And to a great extent, our ministries that the Father has given us, gifts that he has given us, we have used these to build a name for ourselves instead of the Father doing that. And to a great extent, we have moved away from the commandments of the Father. And it's only the gift operating without the sanctification of the order of the Most High. That's a big problem. And that is what we also see today. All right. Let's look at Psalms 25, verse 19. We are in these conflicts because we have so many enemies as believers. Psalm 25, 19 says, "Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred." The horns of cruelty that have been raised to steal your peace, your joy, to steal the soundness of your mind, to steal your courage. actually to make you to minister amiss. Cruelty. That you feed the saints with the wrong information, with error. These horns have been lifted up. There's a horn of false unity, the horn of false glories, the horn of false humilities, the horn of false gifts, the horn of false talents. All these things are there. The horn of false ministries, the horn of false pastoral trainings. All these things are there. And we are experiencing those things over and over and over again. Now, one needs to ask themselves, therefore, what do we need to do? And tonight I just want us to speak about this conflict. I want us to look into this conflict and consider them. Look into these conflicts and ask the Father to help us so that we expose them.
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
There you go. And I'm talking to Professor Buyi Sondezi. And she's on the line. And Parukia is stuck in traffic in Cape Town, man. He sent me another message. He's even crying. Yo. Yeah, it's okay, man. We'll play some songs for you. Keep on being tuned in. I know you can find us quite clearly in Cape Town. Especially when it rains. It's no longer like the olden days, you know. No, especially when it rains. Professor, what comes to mind when we talk about spiritual conflicts? What say you on them?
Thank you so much, my brother. You have outlined very broadly what is it that we are faced with. In fact, as I was pondering about this during the day, my spirit got very, very heavy. As I realize that we are mostly affected one way or the other. And some of these things that affect us are direct, and we are not aware of them. And I believe that today the Father wants us to be aware of these things so that we can be able to deal with them and bring them to light, particularly to those who need to have a healthy relationship with the Father, the Most High. So let me go back to the scripture that you started with, and then I'll elaborate from there while we talk about spiritual conflicts, things that make us confused and in the process and not knowing exactly what is the right thing to do. But the good thing is that we have the scripture that continues to guide us. Daniel 7:21, it says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. And there are things that started happening a while ago, and they've been prevailing. They've been continually affecting believers, those who are called by the name of the Most High. And the struggle is that we are unaware of these things. We are unable to deal with them because we think they are normal things that we need to live with. The reason they prevail against believers is because believers are taking these things lightly. You were mentioning the issue of immorality. Immorality is becoming an issue that is accepted because the social has, the communities where we are, has accepted the way in which we live. it sounds normal for people to fornicate, to commit adultery, and you're talking about men impregnating other women and other women sleeping with other men. So it's something that is socially accepted, and hence we do not see that these are the horns that continue to prevail against believers. And this other one that is very, very much dangerous, the horn of lust, which comes and steals the faith of the people of God. At the end of the day, people think God has left them. God does not answer. God has favorites. Whereas we need to find a way of dealing with these things. And you also mentioned spiritual warfare. And when these things emerge, God is inviting us into another dimension and to another type of prayer that you may be able to deal away with these horns, because they continue to prevail. They are means of sending a certain message to the house of God. And this message is a message that the God whom you believe does not answer. The God is silent. The God does not care. And if we are not aware that this horn is made to tame us from who we are, they are meant to remove us from the Most High, we'll end up subduing to what these things have come to do. And you also speak about the issue of denominations, that denominations are looking into themselves in isolation from the plan of God. So when I'm in a denomination, I think I possess everything and I don't even regard God. So it means when I start looking at others, I look at them outside of who I am, and I think of myself as one who does better things. This church performs better than this church, and we have forgotten that we are in the body of the Messiah, and we have regarded our congregations as our place of safety, as our business areas, as you have spoken about that, as our domain where we play and we become the people that we want to be. And we continue to gossip inside the church. So I'm just summarizing what you've been bringing across, which is something that we must all be aware of. So these horns continue to control the church. They continue to come, and the members are not aware that these horns are used by the devil to divide the church. The minute we get divided, there is no way that we can be effective. We cannot be impactful. We cannot speak for God, because we cannot be able to take his message truly to the people of the Most High. So in these days, God is alerting us of these things that continue to preach the message that God did not preach to us. But God wants us to possess the land, as you have quoted Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. He wants us to possess the land and know the enemies that we are faced with. The promised land is not clean, is not empty. They are Canaanites, they are Girgashites, they are Perizzites. And these are the Perizzites that are bringing conflict. We know that we've been saved, we know we've been set free, but when we come across these nations, these things that challenge our faith, challenge us, we need to know that we've been given power and strength to come against this conflict, to deal away with this conflict, and to do and to exercise spiritual warfare, because power is in the name of the Messiah. So God has given us strength and power to possess and to deal with these horns that we face daily. So before I could finish off, I just want you to quote one more scripture, and then I can hand over to you, my brother. So let's look into 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want us to read verse 3. It starts by saying, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accord with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicion. These are some of the horns, these are some of the conflicts that are within the church, spiritual conflicts that the church is beginning to debate about what they preach. And what they are debating about is not even the full scripture. We take the portion of the scripture and we make it into what we want the scripture to say. So this brings conflict. And I will interpret it the way that I want, which is not what God meant at the beginning. So these are all conflicts that are bringing division, that are bringing confusion, because we are not rightly dividing the word of the Most High. And the doctrine that is taught these days is not the doctrine of the Father, but we are teaching our own doctrine, the doctrine of the devil, the doctrine that will make us do what we want to do. And we are no longer preaching godliness that comes from the Father. And what happens at the end of the day, it creates disputes. It creates arguments. Then you find the brother and the sister arguing about a concept or about the doctrine. And one of them is not taking the full scripture. And at the end of the day, we are divided and we are becoming people who don't know who they are. We don't get rooted. We don't get to identify ourselves with the Messiah because we don't read the scripture fully. And when we read, we take half of the scripture. And at the end of the day, there are conflict, there are division, there are confusion. We are no longer impactful and effective in our call as the children of the Most High.
I hear you quite well. Let's open the lines. We are taking your calls. You know, some of the spiritual conflicts you have ever faced in your life and how the Father has seen you through. And the spiritual conflicts that you would even see right challenging us as a people, as a nation, as a body of believers, as individuals, you know, as professionals, neighbors, communities, and how these are waging war against us to constantly keep us away from rejoicing in the Father, in the sense of his peace and his cover upon us. You can talk to us with regards to that. Send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. Claudia Finn, I see your WhatsApp there. You can send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. And let's get to understand what you are all about in this very issue. Now, I'm looking also at Joshua 1 verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage for this people. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I saw to their fathers to give them," which means the promises of the future. There is a horn of discouragement that takes away the good courage that we have. And how this operates, we fail in things, you know, we fail in some of the things we want to do. We fail in some of the things we want to achieve. And sometimes we make wrong choices to facilitate a failure, so that we can give up to what the Father wants us to do. The horn of discouragement. And I see it mostly amongst our young adults. If you go around in campuses, if you go around in townships, and look at the people who are walking up and down the streets, the street corners, and if you are bold enough, sit sometimes and hear what they are to say. And record some things that they say at times. I used to do that, you know, to record some of the things that they say. And one of the most prevalent thing is discouragement. Many have become discouraged. They finished school, has a degree, has an honors, but didn't get a job. And now has to do another job which is not in line with their qualification in order to keep going. I know what it is like. In my life, I've experienced that many times. And I know how painful it is when someone compares themselves with their friends, or you see some of your friends on social media celebrating their new car. And they're breaking that bottle. I don't know if it's cold drink or what. Maybe Professor will tell us. And then it has this ribbon, red ribbon and stuff. And it's the same person that you were with at school. Maybe even you were far much more better academically than them. But they got the job because they have an uncle in the business. many have become despondent, discouraged. There's a horn of discouragement that makes us to ignore this Joshua chapter 1 verse 6. I've spoken to many people. I've spoken to one guy who actually was giving himself over to the things of the world because of discouragement. Crying tears because of discouragement. Now we see these things much of the times, and we see them prevailing against believers. And we see suicides, because this horn of discouragement is aiming at many things. We see suicides, we see abuses, and all those kinds of things. We see parents being harassed by their own children, you know, children beating up their own parents. There's a horn of wickedness that the devil has raised against mankind in this regard. And as long as they're discouraged, others will enter into crime, knowing the devil knows very well that when they enter into crime, they won't live long. They won't live long. Especially now, people who enter into crime now, within 2 years, you're dead. Dead. And that's how a particular percentage of young people, about 12% of young people, young adults, they die because of crime. Another one, he knows that then he would support the demons of alcoholism and drugs, because people are discouraged. Then they would resort to ease their pain and relieve their stresses through alcoholism and drugs. And then there they lose hold of themselves. You go around towns, I don't know if it doesn't bother you when you see people sleeping in the parks, naked in a plastic. It should bother you. It's one of those things that are taking place and happening in our country. As the church, the Father must show us, and he is showing us, the horns that have been risen against our communities.
Phila ubomi nathi, mamela inkqubo zethu ku radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Send us your WhatsApp, 0826572729, 0826572729. I was telling some people, and then I was saying, I know we used to have this ideology that once a kid graduates, they need to get out of the house. But now it looks like the norms do not allow that anymore. They would have to stay longer. Otherwise, you'd find them drugged in the streets, drunk in the streets, or in the government mortuary. I don't know, man, if you've ever seen a government mortuary. Where bodies are thrown everywhere, and the other body has been thrown and the mouth is opened, and so because of the cold the face has frozen, it's difficult to even identify that person. You only see by the tag that this is your son, this is your daughter. I don't know if it doesn't bother you. It really bothers me to the core that people are faced with this. We faced so many things in the 80s and the 90s. As young people, as young adults in the 90s, we faced so many people, so many things. But the things that young people are facing now, aibo.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
You can send us your WhatsApp, 0826572729. Let us hear from you as to what you make of this. I'm talking to the Professor Bui Sondezi, and of course, she's a professor in UJ, and she's also a minister of the gospel, man. She's also a minister of the gospel. And you can talk to us directly there. And give us a shout, 012-334-1322. We need to hear from you as to what you make of this. And some of the horns that you can say, yeah, I can note this one and this one which have been lifted and are blowing against our communities. There's a horn of enmity. I will come to that towards the end. I need to expose these most dangerous ones, you know, of the horns that are there. Joshua 17, verse 15, Joshua answered them, "If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you." There's a horn of mountains. And this one operates in such a way that it becomes difficult to achieve anything. I was listening to Miss South Africa. I forget her name, but I was listening to her. There's something that she said. Who was she talking to, that lady? Yeah, but she was talking to someone, a colleague of mine of old, in one of the TV channels. And then she says, "I could not believe that it would be me that would be chosen to be the Miss South Africa, because people like myself," which means with her disabilities, "have been sidelined as a, by the way, supporting act. And to an extent, I had gotten used to it. And this has come as a surprise." The horn of difficulty. Send us your WhatsApps. Let's hear what you say. 012-334-1322. Talk to us directly there. We trust the Father will do you good. Bless you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, man. This is happening throughout up to 8 o'clock. And we are touching base on this, the issue of what we face, you know, as conflicts, spiritual conflicts, these conflicters in our spirit that are getting us down, breaking us down to a pulp. Brafil, I need to listen to you. And of course, let's do a bit of this so that we can listen to you. Send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Umhlobo kwabo banhliziyo zidakumbileyo. Simamele kwi-app okanye utyelele uradiopulpit.co.za.
Sanibonani bazalwane.
Prophet.
Igameni lenkosi nebandla nabalaleli. Izwi selifundiwe. Ngicela nje ukuthi ngithi fahla fahla kancanyazana. Umoya kaNkulunkulu munye. UNkulunkulu munye, uJesu munye, inkolo yinye. So uma kukhona ama-conflicts, uthi uPawuli, niloyiwe ubani? Nidakwe yini? Ngoba umoya ongcwele uma efika empilweni yomuntu uletha ukuthula. Umoya ongcwele uma efika emntwini, angafani lithi iBhayibheli nigcwale ngomoya. So whoever olwisa omunye ebandleni, check the spirit. Umoya ongcwele akekho divided.
Yeah.
And lithi iBhayibheli, the spirit of the Lord is in agreement with the spirit in you. Uma nginomoya ongcwele ngiphile entandweni kaNkulunkulu ngomoya ongcwele. Hayi ngokuzenzisa bazalwane, angikhulumi ngoba ngisemsakazweni. Hayi ngokuzenzisa, purely, outrightly, minute by minute, day by day. Angibi holy because ngisenkonzweni. I'm holy in my body. When I sleep a holy sleep. And ngikholwa ukuthi yilokho uNkulunkulu akufunayo okumjabulisayo. So if there are conflicts, aziveli kumoya ongcwele, check the spirit. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Ike. We identify these spiritual conflicts, and I'm talking about horns that are being raised against the believers throughout. I'll be touching on that. Let me welcome Baruch Yah. He chose to return to the office in Cape Town. It's raining. Mayaki, Tuda.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom to you, Mayaki. Shalom to the beautiful family of Radio Pulpit, to Professor Bui as well. I trust and I hope everyone is well. Greetings in the mighty name of Yahweh Shai HaMashiach of Nazareth. Umsindisi.
Sebauti. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we are touching on that, you know, the spiritual conflicts that we face each and every time. And then I said, I'm going to be looking at the horns. I said, I'm going to look at it in a very different way. Going to look at the horns that are raised against us. And I don't know if you have been listening. You have been listening. All right.
No,
all right.
Network
is just doing things. Yeah. All right. So I looked into Deuteronomy 11:8. That says, "You shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess." And here I speak about the horn of disobeying the commandments of the Father regarding our future. We seem to have drawn our own commandments, and that in itself has become quite a big problem. That is why we see quite a lot of denominations and deviations from the truth. I spoke of Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, and here I speak about the horn of discouragement that opposes this verse. This verse says, "Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I saw to their fathers to give them." It's still about the future and the promise, but the devil has brought on many things that bring discouragement: drunkenness, drugs, crimes, unemployment that has skyrocketed. Actually, the most divided country in the world is South Africa economically. Our constitution is mocked by the horns that are raised, and it's quite sad that we experience that. So when you tuned in, Brafil was talking about that. So when we speak about this, and I want to also bring this one, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 2, there's a horn of weakness, and we've seen this horn challenging Christ. We've seen this horn challenging Paul. And with Paul, the Father said, "In your weakness, I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you." We've seen it. Now, in 1 Kings 2:2, it says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man." And here we see a horn of weakness that people embrace, that they are weak and therefore they can't accomplish whatever it is that they need to do. Whatever it is that they need to face or called for in life, they say, "This is just too heavy for me." All these are weapons of war which the devil has raised, and many people don't see these. They don't fight against this. They don't stand against this. They don't resist against this. And they had gone on to actually even negate that these horns have been raised against them by the devil and the evil ones, the principalities of darkness, the forces in the heavenly realms. No. Actually, they laugh at one another, that the other one is weak in this and stuff. They laugh at one another. They mock each other. And it's a sad thing. The devil continues to prevail in that sense. Mayaki, what comes to mind?
Shalom and Tuba Mayaki. I want us to imagine, maybe when it comes to obedience, if, let's say, we were paid to read the word, if we were paid to pray, would there be or even paid to be obedient.
Mm.
If there was monetary value, people would be. You wouldn't force. Never to get a straight without any hassles.
Mm.
Right? But it's because of our lack of understanding.
Mm.
And when you look at the Babylon system, you have our workplaces whereby, for the fact that there's a reward that we see that is tangible, nobody drags you. But when it comes to the world, because we fail to see the value, or we don't trust what the word says, the promise that it said, because it's not something that we see now, but it tells us about the future. So we get to be very short-sighted. And it is the most important. When we look at the scriptures, or even what we do naturally, it's the things that the scripture is telling us about or informing us to do, but we tend to miss it and are not able to understand. Because the process of birthing, when a woman falls pregnant and they get to give birth, it's exactly what the scripture is describing the New Jerusalem, because we need to be born in, or we need we need to be born in that land. So that the walk that we need to walk this side in order to qualify us to come out onto the other side. So that, like, kahuna takere abortion or stillborn. We persevere. So the child would walk the cycle until it's complete. So I always liken the process to say, these things are scriptural. These things are right in front of our eyes. But the devil makes us to doubt. The devil makes us call it diamond, there's this whole lot of things. Hence now, when we look at the scriptures, we prefer to be drinking, we prefer to be doing drugs, we prefer to be following the things, the lust of the flesh, as opposed to now following what the scriptures are doing. The scriptures now, they are true. Abba said, my words will not turn back void until it does what it is supposed to do. So it is a question of, or get it, we here on earth, and here on earth is a neutral place, meaning that being in a neutral place, you have the heaven and you have hell, and we start our choice by the deeds that we make to say, when the books are opened, where do you get counted? So therefore, it would mean we need to walk according to the Spirit. So you raise scripture, Deuteronomy 11:8.
Yes.
Right. Just hold on. I'm at the office now. I got some scripture. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 11:8 says, "Be careful to obey the commandments that we are given." So the word is our delight. The word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word becomes a sword that we can use to fight, or a weapon that we can be able to use against the enemy. So when we walk in obedience, then we are protected. So we are guarded when we walk in obedience. So that's all the word he asks us to do, to say all these that are written, if you go by them, then you gain strength. You are able to take over. So even when the enemy comes, he will come one way, but he will flee seven ways. Because why? The word is a covering, it is the word of Abba. So, which means he becomes our stronghold, he becomes our shield, he becomes our anchor. So, we are able, every battle that we enter into, then we are able to win. So, that is now what becomes important for us to be able to remember the word. And also, it encourages us to say, be strong and be courageous, for you are the one who leads these people and to possess the land. So we need to understand, Quresh, here on earth, we are in a sojourning land. This is not the final destination, but it's a place where we can say it is our Egypt. And now, like a child being inside the tummy, and later on, this child will now leave the tummy, just as our forefathers left Egypt to go to the promised land. So it's the same story that we are being reminded, so that even if we doubt, but nature becomes a witness to remind us to say, you know what, all this thing came out, but there is that witness that helps us to say, now, so we have the lust of the flesh and the spirit, because the spirit is a divine nature, a new man, it's the heart of flesh, you know. So, haritamaya in the spirit, we know when we look at the book of Galatians chapter number 6, where it tells us that we need to walk in the spirit, and therefore, when we walk in the spirit, we are able to attain the fruits of the spirit, which means now, we know that home is not here, but we want to be crowned so that we can be able to be selected, or we can be the elect that enters the new Jerusalem. So it becomes important for us to say there are things that are wanting to pull us. So the spirit, being in the spirit, would mean that, for instance, it would be about being prayerful, about time to time seeking the Ruach HaKadosh or the Holy Spirit, to be in the face of Abba and to pour ourselves into his bosom. So constantly we want to be reconnecting with him and learning his ways, and therefore we find favor. Therefore, there is that true happiness. You know, we have to long to be in his presence. So, and that is now going according to the desires that he says. You know, we need to follow how he wants us to be saved, because he's put everything for us to say, my love for you is for you to get saved. And here I'm willing to even sacrifice Yahusha HaMashiach so that you and me can be saved. And that is all that is required. So we need to be watchful of a whole lot of things that we are around, because being set apart means ha. But when you take a direction that is according to the scripture. So the scripture says, evil will be seen as good, and good will be seen as evil. So even when the world or a million people are taking this direction, and you know that it is wrong because you would have learned in the word, we need to stick to what the word teaches us, the goodness, because we know that there is a reward at the end of the day. It's not the reward that we see. Every month, we get encouraged and enticed by these salaries that we receive, or wages that we receive every month. This one, it brings everlasting life, and it will come only later at the end. So we need that patience, you know, in order the promises of Abba are a yes, and he's not a man to lie. What he has spoken, it is surely going to come to pass. As it has started with other words, we've seen other things coming to pass already.
I hear you quite well. Send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. We are talking about spiritual conflicts, what these are even all about, and what comes to mind when one is talking about this. Send us WhatsApps. Let's hear what you say. And of course, it's 082-657-2729. And drop us a voice note also on the WhatsApp, 082-657-2729.
Get in touch with the truth, the light, and the life. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.